Hello and welcome back to the Parallax Perspectives podcast with me, your host, Daniel Lawson. Firstly, I want to say thank you so much for being here. And if it's your first time tuning in, this is the podcast where we explore different perspectives to create more choice, more opportunity, and take different actions to really elevate and expand the reality and the lives that it is that we're creating. In the previous episode, we dived into Feel to Heal and the four steps to cultivating emotional intimacy. Like we touched on, I believe that mindset is somewhat and rather overrated these days. And so in this episode, I wanted to bring in a guest that is and has become such an expert in the space. I really love all that he's doing and contributing in the space of emotional intimacy, emotional connection, and specifically within relationships. And he shares his story about how he went from thinking or perceiving that he was going to dive into coaching men and end up coaching women. I think it's awesome. So our guest for this episode is Mr. Jaden Lee. He is someone that I grew up with in the coaching space, professional coaching space, starting back over half a decade ago. Now I think it is. We have studied alongside each other. We've masterminded together. We've watched and championed each other grow. And now for me, it's such a privilege for him to be on the Parallax Perspective, sharing all his insights and wisdom. Some of the areas that we touch on, and I love that he also shares this perspective of mindset being important, but somewhat overrated when so many of our challenges are deep within us. And he brings his own nuances to that. We talk about how people like Andrew Tate don't have everything all figured out. Important mindset, yes, but there's so much more to it. And some other approaches or attitudes that really seem to just mess people up when they think they're on the right path. And so we open up the conversation towards the end of the episode about spiritual bypassing, which is such an important conversation. I love the way that Jaden has the ability to articulate these deep and challenging conversations in a way that just totally makes sense for the average person to understand and get it and go, now this is how we go on it. And of course, some really great insights of how to just get started straight away. Do this challenging, confronting, scary work facing our reality, maybe breaking the delusion of thinking that we've got everything sorted out and going for after what's most important. So enjoy this episode, jump in, let me know what you think in the comments below. And also, of course, if you love what Jaden is sharing, please like, follow, subscribe to his work, because I just totally love what he's doing and we need this message to be shared further and wider. Thank you so much. We're going to be diving into emotions in relationships. This is the space that you've built and created such a wonderful audience around. I really would love to jump straight in today into and make the most of the time that we have together. The work that you've been doing and have become such a highly regarded expert, model of demonstration, model of inspiration, catalyst for change, in the space of coaching, specifically for mums, but I know so much of what you have to share is so appropriate for men also. It's so relevant. It's more relevant today than it's ever been when it comes to emotions and relationships. I'm really curious if you're able to share, give a brief background on how you entered this niche. Is it something that you went after, or is it something that kind of found you?
Yeah, definitely not something that I went after. I couldn't even begin to imagine before I started my coaching journey that I'd be coaching women in emotions and relationships. This just was not on my radar whatsoever. So what actually happened was I had a lot of events going on in my life and a lot of big things, and which kind of forced me into a place of I had to learn, I had to grow, I had to become a better version of me. And I started doing that by looking at a lot of mindset stuff, really getting involved in, you know, min-maxing my day, understanding how to reset my mind, how to reframe things, really following like a stoic philosophy. And what's been really kind of popularized in the kind of personal development movement lately. So I was really engrossed in that and it was very, very helpful. And at that state that I was in, I'm thinking, oh, this is just great. You know, I'm finding so much freedom and liberation from my own thoughts. I really want to help dads experience what I'm experiencing right now. And so I went out to be a mindset coach for dads specifically. Now, I was coaching men for a little bit at the start. And I found it good, but also found it as a bit of resistance because I wasn't talking just about mindset. I was talking about some deeper things, some deeper emotional sensitive things. And there was a lot of resistance with men. Now, I knew that this emotional work was something that I was starting to tap into, and I was finding some deeper results within myself. And amongst all of our training that you and I have been to, and the extra coaching that I've received in my own personal journey, I really started going heavily into emotional regulation, trauma release, just deep, like shadow work, understanding all this big stuff inside of me. And this took me far above and beyond the limitations of mindset or seeing the world through mindset only. And I knew this is where the real work actually is. It's not in mindset. It's not in observation. It's in feeling through our emotions. And so I started to bring this emotional work into my marketing, my messaging. Now, what happened was that actually repelled all the men that I was trying to attract, because lo and behold, men don't typically like talking about their emotions too much. However, something I did not expect happen was that I had a heap of women start reaching out to me and saying they love my message and want me to talk to their partners. I thought, great, let's do that, right? That's what I'm here for, right? I'd reach out to the men on their women's behalf, on their partner's behalf. I'd hear nothing back. But during that time, I'd still be talking to these beautiful, brave women who are reaching out, and they're sharing me their frustrations, their concerns. They're feeling like they're not being respected or appreciated, and they're just wanting something good for their partners, but they weren't getting that love that they knew they needed. And so a lot of the challenges they were presenting to me, I thought, well, I know how to serve this. Like, you know, I can definitely help you here. Would you like to jump on a call? And before I knew it, all of my clients were women. And from that space, knowing that I could then speak very freely and very openly about the emotional work that I've been doing and how impactful it is, and speaking with these women who are so ready to receive this level of message, this level of conversation, and are so ready to do this type of work, I found my space, and it's just lit me up ever since. And I know I'm in the right place and I'm making such a big impact. And it's something that I never thought I'd be here, but man, I'm glad the space found me.
That's so good, man. What an epic story and journey to have gone on, and having this kind of work and this kind of space to find you. I love that so much. I honestly believe, like, this conversation that you're bringing lights me up so much inside. And funny, I'm a guy. I don't know, how can we inspire more guys to go on this journey is something that I sometimes ponder. But then I also know that, like your journey here, like your story here, well, the journey often finds us when we're ready for it to find us. So we're all on our own pathways. I really love that you opened up with how important this emotional regulation and emotional work is so important. One of my beliefs that I'm seeing, and it might be a little controversial, in being that mindset is so overrated. And by overrated, I mean that it's, I don't know, there's like this overwhelming promotion of it, like as if mindset is everything. I went on the journey and I found out it definitely wasn't everything. And so I wonder, in your expert perspectives and the way that you've helped people through this journey, how have you seen working on specifically emotions and relationships, and maybe even touch on the tie between those, really elevates a holistic success in life?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And this part specifically, I'm so passionate about, because I see so many of my clients come to me disenfranchised, feeling like they're broken, feeling like they're a lost cause, a hopeless case, because they've been following this prescribed popular notion that mindset is everything. And I fell for the same trap as well, because I didn't know anything else, right? This is just what you see all the big wigs, you know, in the industry talking about it. You got, you know, Tony Robbins to maybe a lesser extent. You got Mel Robbins, right? You've got this Stoic Philosophies by, I can't remember his name, Tom, someone right now. You've got a bunch of people who are all talking about being hard, being mentally tough, this, that, and the other. And it's awesome. And as I said, I found a lot of success in it myself. I really, truly did. I was min-maxing every day. I was doing breath work, meditation, ice baths, right? I was doing all the tricks. And what I found was I was in a lot of pain, and that helped me regulate myself through the day, or what I thought was regulation. And so I'd have a negative thought cycle come up, or I'd start getting anxious. Mind you, I was riddled with social anxiety for over 10 years. Okay. So I know what it's like to be trapped in my own thoughts and to feel the brunt of the pain of that and have the anxiety everywhere and you know, ebb and flow into states of depression and really not know what to do with my life. And so every single day I was having the awareness that I know I need to work on this thing, and I know I need to apply this strategy and this reframe and this positive mindset and this gratitude. I need to do all these things to counteract what was naturally coming up inside of me. And by the end of the day, I'd done it all. It's like, whew, I've got through a day, and I'm huffing and puffing like, geez, that was a fight, you know, to get through all of the stuff that was coming up, all the triggers, all the judgments of other people's, all the feeling of not being worthy or good enough. That was all coming up. And I'd navigate through it in the day, and I'm like, oh, whew, job done. Time to go to bed. I'd wake up the next day, and the same stuff kept popping up. The same triggers, the same judgments, the same not feeling good enough, unworthiness. And so I'd have to apply the same strategies over and over and over again. And I just thought to myself, like, is this it? Like, is this the peak? Is this really, truly the peak performance? Like, I'm doing all the things, yet I'm still not happy. It's like this constant, just like band-aid, 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 band-aid. I thought, there's got to be something else. And this is where the emotional work really started to come in. This is what completely changed everything for me, and is why I'm so passionate about serving women in this space now, is because they're coming to me in the same situation I was in just a few years ago. It's like, I get it. Let's go on this next journey. I'm going to show you what's actually in the next stage, what's moving forward. And it's all about our emotions. So I want to explain something, if you bear with me, a kind of a concept of how I kind of explain this to my clients first and foremost. See, thank you. When we're born, we are born, let's just call it a blank slate, right? As in we are a sponge to our experiences. And so in our developmental years, 0 to 7, we are exposed to different beliefs from our family, different values, different perspective, cultures, tribal cycles, all these different things that make up who we are. Now, every time we experience one of these things, a trauma, either it be big or small, what it does is it creates a layer that goes over our eyes. And I want you to imagine like the really thick aquarium glass that you see at an aquarium, right? It's super, super thick. Now, if you were to turn that on its face, and so you're peering through that, that's the lens that you see the world through. Now, it's not just one giant slab. Every belief that you have, every value, every cultural situation, every trauma, big and small, all of these events are a distinguishable layer. And all of them that add up make that glass thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. And so you've got hundreds, thousands of these different layers that we see the world through. Now, if we were to have a traumatic event, and before I continue on, I need to preface what a traumatic event actually is. If we focus on the work by Dr. Gabor Maté, he talks about trauma as not being an event, but trauma is the unprocessed emotion from an event. So what that means is if we have an event happen to us, if we're able to release that emotion associated with that event, we're good. If we're not, it becomes trauma and stays inside of our body. This is super important to understand, because when we have a trauma, that trauma creates a layer on our lens, like we've just talked about, but that trauma's layer is colored. And let's just say it's red. And so what that means is, as you continue navigating through life, everything that you see is filtered red, because you're seeing the world through that trauma. And that trauma might be, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough, smart enough, fast enough. I'm not lovable. Usually it's around the I'm not enough. OK, Okay. And so when we're perceiving our world through this layer, through this lens, it can be a really daunting thing. Now, people try and think, well, it's just mindset. All you need to do is just say affirmations. I am good enough. I am lovable. I am great. Celebrate me, you know, and I can achieve all these things. And thinking or hoping that that's going to counter that layer. But it's not. The layer is always there. And so it's like we're fighting it. Well, what I do with emotional release work is actually help relieve that layer. So what it looks like is I teach my clients how to feel through the emotions associated with their memories. And so we go back and find out, where is this core belief about I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, and so on. And we find that core memory, and we don't do any other stuff with the memory. We just find the emotion attached to that memory. This is really important. Once we find the emotion attached to that memory, we find the unprocessed trauma from it. And then I guide my clients through a series of emotional release exercises to help them get, feel and understand what it feels like to actually sit in their emotional discomfort. Now, this is huge for so many people if we've spent our whole life trying to avoid it, right? Because we think, oh, I'm not allowed to be sad. I'm not allowed to show disappointment. I'm not allowed to be angry. So I'll just bottle that up. I'll people please. I'll get in my masculine. I'll be really proactive and just do all the work and deny that I'm sad, right? This is the sort of symptoms that we see. But instead, having that time to sit in our emotions, release those emotions from our body, something magical happens. When we release those emotions, the colored tint on that layer, it starts to fade away. So what that means is, the more that we do this, the more that we feel our emotions, the clearer our perspective gets on our reality. We now still see the world through that memory of that experience, that trauma experience, but the tint is no longer there, so we can still see clearly. So we have the memory, but we don't carry the pain. That is how we navigate through our world in a healthy way. That is how we release and relinquish all of our triggers around not being seen, not being appreciated. And this flows into our relationships as well. So once we know how to do all of this, we're not feeling all of this unconscious pain coming up and not knowing what to do with it. We just get to realize, yeah, here's a painful memory. Here was the emotion that I've released from it. I've got it. It's no longer impacting me right now. Let's go forward in this relationship together. Let's go forward and make this beautiful without all the baggage left behind from my traumas that I just haven't dealt with.
It's such a good story or metaphor. The way that you describe that paints such a clear picture of, like, as I was listening to that, I could just see it. And I almost started seeing the lenses that I'm still looking through, the different colors of lenses that I'm looking through. I go, oh my God, I need to do more of this work myself. There must be so many layers there, and I've become aware of it. And so this must be even more important for those that haven't become aware of it yet or just embarking on the journey to go, oh, yeah, okay, now I get it. Such a beautiful example. Thank you so much for sharing it. When it comes to, like, I appreciate that you do this work with women, and something that I hear come up, and you referenced men before, and I'm not an advocate for trying to change people that don't want to do the work. So we can place that group of people over there and they can come to doing this work when they feel compelled to. Are you familiar with Andrew Tate?
Yes. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So Andrew Tate, I love his work in terms of mindset, but again, he's the kind of guy that's mindset is everything. And I've heard from women in the space, and if you want to speak on behalf of men, because we're guys here, I think we probably are allowed to speak on behalf of men as well, in terms of going, well, someone like him that looks like he's had or got, you know, success, and I put success in quotations because it's a finite level of success or very defined kind of success rather than holistic success. How would taking on that kind of thinking in terms of, like, mindset being 100% and using the mind to shut down the pain and the emotions to the degree which you don't feel them anymore. You know, he talks about this himself as well. If we all took on that kind of way of thinking, that kind of level of mindset, that hardened rigidity to become top G, as he puts it, What do you see? What's your response to someone that is following that way of thinking?
It's a really interesting one because a lot of what he talks about is actually really healthy. It's really good, even though it's super divisive. Okay. But when it comes to those top echelons about being ultra stoic, as in shoving down all of the emotions, just providing strength, just being this strong masculine energy, and that any sign of emotion is weakness, this is where he definitely drops the ball, 100% drops the ball. Because what happens is it incentivizes denying and suppressing of our emotions. That's never good, which means that he's always running from something. He's always running. So what I want you to think about here is, I want to use the beach and the bear analogy. If you're running from something, imagine you're being running from a bear, okay? Your whole focus is on getting away from the bear. You don't know where you're going. You're just running. You just want to get away. And by the time you've made enough distance where the bear is now out of sight, you can kind of stop and get your bearings and think, oh, where am I? Like, I'm just running from my pain, whatever that pain is. Don't be weak. Don't be quote unquote gay. Don't be soft, right? Don't be any of that. Just keep running away from it. Once you get your bearings and you're like, I've been running for so long, where am I? Then you take stock and realize, like, what have I done with my life? Like, where am I? And are these the results that I actually want? Is this actually the life that I want? Have I just accumulated a bunch of materialistic crap? Have I gone through relationship after relationship and nothing's actually nurturing or serving me? Am I just having constant sex with people that mean nothing to me? Like, what am I doing? What are my results? And then what we can do is we can get in this fallacy of thinking, well, these are my results. How can I justify them as being good or adequate enough so that I can merit that what I've been doing is actually something that I've approved of and that I've deliberately gone towards? It's an unconscious running. When you're running from something, you're in fight or flight or freeze or fawn response, okay? But if you're running, then you're unconscious. You're just doing anything to survive, and whatever results you get is what you get. Now, he's glorifying this as someone who is, because of the results that he's got, because he's got the wealth. And the wealth's amazing, right? The accumulation, all this sort of thing is incredibly beneficial, okay? But it's at what cost, okay? It's at what cost? That's really important. So that's the bear part of it. You're running and you don't know where you're going and you just justify any results that you get. The beach side of this is different. If you know that you want to go to the beach, you are not going to stop moving until you arrive at the beach, which means you have a goal, you actually have somewhere you want to be, which means that if that beach represents happiness, fulfillment, joy, peace, connection, loving embrace, beautiful relationship, whatever it is, then you're not going to stop until you get there, which means that you know your destination, you know what you're moving towards, and you're more aligned and your actions are more conscious, they're more responsive instead of reactive. And that's a big contrast here. So I think if we start focusing on what we want to move towards instead of what we want to move away from, we'll have a much more purpose-driven life.
Yeah, well said. Well said. So valuable. I wonder, and the work that you've been carrying out and the people that you've been working with, what are some of the challenges that you've noticed hold people back from or keeping them in the dark, so to speak, about really realizing these benefits of being able to tap into our inner and emotional selves to go to the beach and turn up to the place that we want to be going to?
Yeah, that's a great question. The predominant resistance to doing this work. So I typically work with professional women. So women who have found themselves in a really good professional state, they're running businesses or they're in high level positions, and they've got there because they've had to work really hard and really compete. And they've done that by becoming or stepping into their masculine energy more and more than what they realize. And so the resistance to doing this work is essentially, when I start sharing with them about their emotions and I start holding a lot of space for them and create a lot of vulnerability inside the calls, it's really disjointing. It's really jarring for them because they're thinking, hold on, this guy is making me feel my feelings. This is the stuff that I've been avoiding, right? And I don't really want to do this. And I can't be vulnerable and I can't cry and I can't show that I don't have all my crap together, because if I do, then who's going to continue running my business? Who's going to keep showing up the way I have? What's going to happen if I don't do what I've been doing? Is the world going to fall apart? Is my relationship going to fall apart if I stop rescuing it? How's my family going to run if I'm not the one looking after and picking up after the kids? Is my partner going to do it? Am I the one who's going to stop and then watch my business fall apart because no one else is doing what I can do? And so there's this fear of, well, if I, and I've heard this so many times, if I start crying, I don't think I'll be able to stop. So I don't let myself. Wow. Now, the work that I do is teach my clients not only how to feel into their emotions, how to open that lid, but also how to close it. Because we need to open and close it at appropriate times so that you can get into your emotions, feel them, resolve them, feel them to completion. Okay, this is so important. When it comes to, they did a study. When it comes to feeling our emotions, to feel an emotion to completion is anywhere between 2 to 5 minutes. That's all it takes, scientifically proven, 2 to 5 minutes to feel an emotion. And some of your listeners might be thinking, what are you talking about? I feel sad for days. Well, what actually happens here is that the core emotion comes up. And then what happens when the emotion comes up, we build up a resistance to it, a judgment towards it, a shame. And we start saying, I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't be crying. What am I doing? I don't have my crap together. I need to do this. I need to do that. Oh my God, I'm such a failure. Why does this keep happening to me? And what happens is we get into a cyclical cycle of thinking that actually perpetuates the emotion and turns it into something it's not. You might be sad because your partner just disappointed or let you down or broke your trust. And before you know it, you're thinking about how angry you are at the world, how much of a letdown you are, how much of a failure you are because you didn't set enough boundaries or set your expectations. Why do you keep falling for the wrong man? All this sort of thing. And you've actually lost track about what the core hurt was. And so this is how all of it, everyone gets spiraled into this state of becoming overwhelmed by our emotions because we've lost track of the core emotion and we've just let our mind wander. And so what I do with my clients is help them find that one emotion, isolate it, feel it to completion, close the lid, close the book, end that session. And from then, the amount of clarity that comes from that is brilliant. But it's that fear of not knowing that that's possible because all of our clients have just been trapped in their own thinking and left to their own devices and think that, well, this is the best I've got, because we're all limited by our current level of awareness. We don't know what we don't know, but sometimes we think that we know everything and we're the master of ourselves. But when you have a coach, we're here to say, hey, you've done a really good job, but you've missed a spot. Let me help you with that.
Yeah, it's so good. What I'm hearing is a lot of, because that's what I've heard, is like people feel like they're left in the dark or they don't have the awareness, as you talk about. What I'm kind of hearing from you is maybe it's through our own devices, it's through our own doing, through our own maybe delusion or not wanting to face our own reality, that is the challenge in holding ourselves back. And
absolutely,
this is me speaking on behalf of myself, but also people that I've worked with. I haven't worked with women so much. What you're talking about is profoundly true, just as relevant as with men, especially when it comes to sadness. Sadness was my big one, personally. Yet we're all human. We're all living this human experience of emotions, right?
Yeah, it's so baffling to think. We're taught in society these days that we're a mind, like that we are our thoughts, we are a mind. And that we have these really annoying things called emotions that get in our way throughout the day. It's completely backwards. It's completely backwards. No, we are born an emotional creature. We are human beings. We are emotional creatures through and through. You cannot deny that. We are emotions first, and then our thoughts try and figure out and tell stories about our emotional experiences. It tries to figure out and understand them. So we're actually emotions that have thoughts, not thoughts that have emotions. And so once we understand that and flip the script around, everything changes. We start allowing ourselves to fully embrace our sadness without the story and just let it be as it is. Once we know how to do that, your whole life becomes different.
Yeah. It brings up a thought that I had a little while ago around, you know, mental health. And again, you know, mindset is everything. Mental health is so important. We've got these campaigns, Are You Okay Day? And we're talking about the importance of mental health so much. What you just shared there sounds like, again, flipping the script, maybe mental health isn't the core focus. We need emotional health and bring more awareness to our emotional world. What's your thoughts on that?
I could not agree more. I seriously could not agree more. It's interesting that we even have Are You Okay Day. This has kind of been a gripe for me for a while. Now, we know about language, right? We understand presuppositions. Are You Okay Day presupposes that that person has to be okay. And so when you ask someone who's depressed, are you okay? They have to say yes, or they feel obliged to say yes. Instead, we should be asking, how are you feeling? Changes everything. But the thing is all of us, right? Society as a whole, we do not have experiencing our own emotions. And so many of us are completely deprived of understanding how to hold emotional space for other people. And so we don't even know how to ask these questions. Or if we do ask those questions, what the hell to do with it if someone actually is brave enough and vulnerable enough to share, you know what, I'm actually feeling really sad. People don't know what to do with it. They get really uncomfortable. So that's why we stay safe and stay upstairs inside of our heads and we keep everything surface level. And it does not move the needle forward. With my clients, I can hold space just using my tonality, using correct language, right, and really be there for them. Just create that safe space with empathy, acknowledgement, validation, and the courage to sit in my emotions and sit in their emotions. And it's a completely new experience. And this is a learned skill. I want everyone to really appreciate this. I had no idea how to do any of this before I started studying to become a coach. I was judgmental. I was critical. I was the typical guy who just always wanted to try and fix everything. Like, that was me. I didn't realize I had emotions that I could play with and tap into and utilize to become really effective in my ability to communicate and serve other people. I didn't know I could do that. And so when it comes to studying this stuff and learning how to do it, this is a learned skill. Once I've learned how to do this, I can do it for everyone in my life now. My wife and our relationship is so much better because I know how to validate and hold space. I can be there for my kids. You know, I've got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and being able to hold space for them while they're sad, while they're frustrated, and know how to be there in their big emotions and not just try and shut it down, not just like, oh, you're right, you can do this, go on, chin up, like brush yourself off. Like, no, actually hold that space for them. When we continue to do that, it creates a really, really beautiful environment for them to feel super safe. And we can do that and then just create a beautiful life. Now that we've got these skill sets, or I've got these skill sets, I can transfer these over to my clients, who can then pass these skill sets over into their relationships with themselves, with their partners, and also with their kids as well, which is just something that's truly, truly beautiful. And he's back.
Here we are. I don't know who left. Probably it was me.
Yeah,
it was you. I am in Mexico after all. I could see me. I just couldn't see you. So we can do a little edit there. Did you complete?
Oh, good. I just kept going. I just kept going. Yeah.
Cool. I can come back. We can edit that. What was the last thing you said so I can respond appropriately?
Yeah, it was about learning the skills to be emotionally vulnerable and available so that we can enact that level of safety in other people to actually have those really great conversations.
Yeah. It must be one of the major benefits in doing this work so we can hold that space for others. Really, like, doing this work is awesome for ourselves, but it's got to be, and now I can really picture the connection with why this is so important for all of our relationships, the relationship with ourselves, but relationship with others. How can we really have fantastic and healthy relationships, that closeness, that intimacy with our partners, that closeness with our kids, any of our friends, without being able to hold that emotional space, that emotional support, right? And isn't it crazy that we've got these huge campaigns in society that's going, are you okay? They're not even getting the language right. It just blows my mind. What's going on here? Why does this not exist? Why aren't we having these conversations? Or enough of these conversations?
Well, the thing is, yeah, really simply, from what I've found, is because it's bloody hard to do. It's hard to do because we're all adults and we've got a lifetime, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of not knowing how to do it. And then being faced with the opportunity to do it is about turning back and facing the bear and allowing the bear to eat you. And if you've been running from that bear the whole time, to actually stop and turn around and let the bear get you, that's potentially a fate worse than death. But it doesn't have to be if we're guided through it by myself or my team to help you do this thing. Like, this is what I'm so passionate about, is because the bear's actually not going to kill you. And I can show you how to handle it, because you've handled a tremendous amount of pain in your life from whatever you've done, all the hardships you've gone through, the loss, the grief, everything. You know what pain feels like, and you know how to perpetuate it and actually make it worse, because that's what you've been doing. That's why you're in where you're in now. But if you were to stop and just receive the full force of the emotional experience of being a human, you would realize that it's actually not that deadly. You can handle it, and then you can overcome it and be much better for it. And so we just spend a whole life trying to avoid these emotions, and society as a whole is all doing the same thing. And so when I'm here showing my clients and teaching people that it's okay to step into this rawness and be okay and love our sadness, love our grief, right? And be okay with all of that there, then it just changes the conversation. We just need to get this word out more that, like, we don't have to keep running. We can stop, turn around, give the bear a hug. It's okay.
I love it. Give the bear a hug. We really need more of this conversation. I can see your passion in it, and I 100% support it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you for bringing this message to the world, everyone that you're working with. For those that are hearing this message and going, I got it. Well, I think I've got it. I want to go on this journey. I'm trying to go on this journey. Maybe they're not in a position to get someone like yourself or go down the coaching realm yet, or the coaching avenue yet. Or maybe they are just starting. Have you seen any themes in, like, attitudes or approaches that just seem to mess people up in getting started? They're like first hurdles that they just blocks that they're putting in their own way without even realizing it.
Yeah, really good question. I would say the first blocks for people to, like, get out of their own way is that we love protecting our own sense of what we think the world is or how we think the world operates. And so what I mean by that is people hate admitting that they don't know something. It's a big thing. People love the identity of saying, yep, I know that. Yep, I understand that. I get that concept. Yeah, of course, we've got to set boundaries. We've got to have a cry. Got to feel our emotions. Got to do that. It's like, great, you understand that? That's awesome. Are you actually doing it? Are you actually living by what you say? You know, I see so many people on Facebook, right? Social media, they post these motivational quotes, and these quotes are beautiful. And I'm like, do you actually really appreciate the gravity of what that quote is? Do you actually sit with that and let that change your life? Because I can see in the following post they do, they're complaining about the government. And it's like, you're not actually practicing what you preach. And this is really important. People have this delusion that they think that they're really living and embodying something, but they're not. They think it's a great idea. They love it for a moment. They might let it hit them for a second, and then they go slip back into unconsciousness. So it's about really having that tough conversation with yourself, looking at yourself in the mirror and just saying, I know nothing. And that's a good thing. Because if I know nothing about this space, that means I've got so much room to grow. And that's what I'm actually here to do. I'm here to learn and grow. Stop assuming that we know everything. This is one of my own personal biggest challenges I had. I thought I knew bloody everything until I was humbled by some experiences in my own life. And I'm like, wow, I really know bugger all. It's time for me to step up and really get humbled. And I become craving and voracious for this new information. So get out of our own way, put our egos to the side, and just allow ourselves to learn and allow ourselves to step into being uncomfortable.
I love that. Such a great message. I laugh at that when you mention it, because I think it was you at some stage that gave me the feedback about coming across a bit arrogant or something along those lines once upon a time. And that hit hard. And I was very grateful for that, because it is so true. Like for myself, I spent my 20s thinking I had everything all figured out. And then trying to build my first business, I realized I didn't have everything figured out. And then going on that journey, the more I learned, the more I realized I didn't know. The more curious I got, the more I learned. And then, should I know even less? And sometimes it's painful. But so much of the time, it's incredible, because it's like, this is the next piece. This allows me to grow and develop and have a more happy, if it's a happy life or a harmonious life, or to calibrate my life in such an epic way. And so it becomes exciting. But facing that discomfort, especially to begin with, it's really challenging. It's really hard. I think it takes a lot of courage. I wonder, do you have any specific tips or action points that this kind of person could just go away and implement right now with themselves before coming to someone like you or a coaching program, or, you know, going, maybe that's too big of a step at this stage. What would be some first like actionable steps that somebody could go and learn to build the trust within themselves or handle a little bit of discomfort so they can take a slightly bigger step into discomfort? Any suggestions?
Really, really awesome. I'm gonna do a suggestion that is a bit blunt in the sense of it can suck this exercise, but it's very, very powerful, and it's more so an awareness exercise. Okay, it's about the awareness is showing you that you have emotions and that they're allowed to be there. So, what I would want someone here listening to do is step into the mirror, step in front of the mirror. Look at yourself directly in your eyes and ask yourself the question, then answer, why am I unworthy? Why am I not lovable? And then answer those questions out loud and allow yourself to really feel through the answer and let yourself experience the emotions that are coming up during that. When you justify that answer and explain why you feel unworthy or unlovable, it's going to hit you in a really, really powerful way. Now, when you do that, you're going to feel raw, really, really raw. And in that moment, we flip it. We say, imagine you're speaking to a child right now who's just told you that I'm not worthy of love, that I'm not lovable. And imagine what you would say to that child if that child just come up to you and said, I'm not that thing. How would you console them? What would you say to them? And you look at yourself in the mirror and you tell them that. You are lovable because you are born, and nothing that you do is worthy of love apart from just being alive. You are worthy of love because you breathe air and you exist. You are worthy of love because it's innately your purpose. You are lovable because you are caring, you are fun, right? You are passionate. You are worthy because everyone around you is lit up by your existence. You are worthy just because you are, and that's a beautiful thing, and you deserve all the love in the world. Just love on yourself so hard in that moment, just like you would console a child to pep them up. You do that and allow yourself to go through that emotional roller coaster, and you'll get to experience just what it means to fully feel a part of yourself that you haven't allowed yourself to tap into in a really long time. We forget that we've got our children inside of us, our childlike selves, all of the moments in time where we've had traumas or past pains or memories that hit us hard. We have a child frozen in time, locked in that trauma. We have hundreds of children of ourselves, our past selves, locked in us. They all need that love. They all need that support. They all need to know that they're safe. You tell them that. You look yourself in the eye and you tell them that and see what comes up.
Beautiful. What an epic step to take. I'm going to go away and do that myself. I've never heard that before, so thank you for sharing that. What a beautiful process. I can only imagine how profound that will be for so many people. Awesome. I love it. I love the self-love that can come out of that, and the self-love for those inner children that we do have trapped away inside us. So good. I'm wondering, I know I was having a conversation with someone just recently. I know this is a topic that you absolutely love, and you can explain it far better than myself around spiritual bypassing, because I think this is a conversation that's so appropriate for the lack of emotional healing, or to allow us to stay in the delusion of us being okay and not doing the work. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? Because I love this conversation, but it's very confronting at the same time. And I know you can articulate it far better than myself.
Yeah, thank you. This is probably one of my favorite topics. it's so divisive. So essentially, spiritual bypassing is for people who feel themselves in the spiritual community in one way or another. And so I'm going to break all of this down. Typically, what we've got, we've already spoken about the camp of mindset, of self-mastery, of discipline. And that's the really popularized thing in personal development. But on the other side of that, there's also a really popular movement around awakening and spirituality. And it's beautiful. Like, it's so, so beautiful. And again, I'm finding a lot of people come to me, a lot of clients come to me saying, you know, I've been meditating for years. I do yoga retreats. I get my chakras balanced, and I go to kinesiologists, and I do all of this sort of stuff. And I practice burning letters, and my house stinks of sage. And, you know, I do all this letting go affirmations all the time, but I'm still unhappy. Like, what's going on? And I'm sharing that you've been taught to spiritually bypass. What spiritually bypassing means is we're using spirituality or some form of methodic practice, ritualistic practice, to bypass our emotions. So let me break it down for you. And I want to break it down in a more practical sense as well. I want to talk about addiction here. So addiction, essentially what addiction comes from is our need to move away from emotional discomfort. We have a pain that we don't know how to handle. We have an internal emotional pain that it's too big for us. And so we move to an addiction, whether that be drinking, pornography, gambling, shopping, gossiping, cleaning the house, whatever it is. We move away from our emotional discomfort and we approach that addiction in order to distract ourselves from or suppress the emotional discomfort within us. Okay. Now, if we change the word addiction to compulsion, i.e. compulsive behavior, it really broadens the perspective. Compulsions are also bitching and moaning about work, right? Compulsions are, continuously, cleaning the house or getting on your phone or, scrolling on social media, right? There's these kind of actions like jumping on Netflix. And why do we do that? Well, we just think that's just a part of our life. That's just what we do. Well, actually pause and hold on a minute. Why have you been compulsed to do that action? You know, I remember catching myself the other day. I was going into the city, going to an event, and I'd kind of lost my way for a bit, and the GPS wasn't working. And I remember standing on a street corner and I'm like, where do I go? Right? And I was kind of looking at all the street signs. And I was a little bit like, oh, crap. Like, are people watching me, like, seeing that I'm lost, right? And I was a bit like, I don't know what to do. And so to avoid that feeling, I reached into my phone and pretended to start scrolling on social media just so people wouldn't see me as someone who looked lost. And I realized, like, oh, crap, like, here I am avoiding my emotions of feeling lost and jumping into social media to distract myself and suppress them. And we do it all the time unconsciously without even realizing we're doing it, okay? Now, if we expand this even more, how many of you listeners, when they feel like crap, they go and meditate? Or when they feel like crap, you know, they're angry or frustrated, they might go to the gym or go for a run, right? Or do yoga, do anything like that, any sort of other activity to avoid feeling their emotions. They say, oh, I feel so much better. I was so angry. And then I went to the gym and now I feel amazing. It's like, well, yeah, because you mechanically induced all of the chemicals in your brain to counteract the fact that you had emotions. So of course you feel good. But guess what? Those emotions are still going to come up the next day. And that's why you're going to need to go to the gym again in order to suppress those emotions. And so this is what we mean by spiritual bypassing. Any compulsive behavior that we do, breath work, meditation, yoga, gym, going for a run, shopping, whatever it is a form of spiritually bypassing. You've got your habit, you've got your ritual, and you use that as a crutch to avoid feeling pain. And you use it to disassociate and suppress and disconnect from it. Now, I'm not saying those things are bad. Breath work, meditation, yoga, it's all amazing. I still do it myself. But I use it as a complement to a healthy life, not a cure to my emotions. So what that means is if I'm feeling sad for whatever reason, I sit in my sadness, I allow myself to feel it 2 to 5 minutes because I practice it. I know how to do it now. Practice it, feel my emotions, release it. And then it's like, cool. Now it's time for me to do my daily rituals of going to the gym, doing my breath work and all of that. And I continue on my way. I use them as a complement, not as a cure. And so many people in the spiritual space will use so many different practices to avoid the truth that right now they just need to sit and feel their stuff. And so these two camps, the mindset camp and the spiritual camp, are essentially doing the same thing, just with a different label on it. One's cool, one's hippie, and we all have a great day, but ultimately most people are still unhappy because they're still just avoiding their emotions.
Yeah. Well said. It's such an important conversation, and we see this becoming more and more prolific in society as we go on. Do you ever see these things? You know, I've heard people say, well, I go and do the yoga or the meditation or the gym, or like for me, even personally, I'll go for a walk. Use these activities as a way to feel emotions?
Yeah, some people can absolutely do that. But if we don't have the right tools and techniques in order to feel our emotions, then what we're doing is just processing and crunching it intellectually, right? Typically. And so this is where we'll create that story about our emotion and try and intellectually process an emotion instead of just feeling it. It's a really, really big difference. So yes, the people who know how to process their emotions and use meditation to process their emotions, awesome, rock on, like do that. I do that as well myself, okay? But it's when people think that I'm going to feel my emotions, I'm gonna go to the gym or I'm gonna go for a walk or whatever it is, it's, are you actually processing your emotions? Or are you intellectually processing them? And if you haven't been taught in how to process your emotions, I can almost guarantee you, you're intellectualizing them.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah, huge.
What is, in short, because I sense this is going to be a really big answer, but in short, someone that's sitting here and going, okay, well then how do I go away and learn how to process my emotions? What would be your insight here for those people?
It would be about approaching it kind of similar to what I was talking about before with our inner child. It's about acknowledging that these inner children, these pains are all in us, right? If we think about the lens that we see the world through in that layer is connected to a child who has those emotions. And so whenever we have an emotion come up, or whenever we feel ourselves being triggered or reactive, maybe we're huffing and puffing around the house and slamming doors and, you know, closing the fridge too hard and, you know, being passive aggressive, or maybe we're full on snapping at the kids, or maybe yelling at our husband, or maybe we're complaining to our partner, right? Or complaining about coworkers. Know that that's in a state of us being triggered. And so what we do is we pause and use this as a trail to go back and scale backwards and go, okay, if I'm angry right now, or if I feel hopeless right now, if I feel frustrated right now, the question is why? Why am I actually feeling this way? And it's not because that jerk off just cut me off on the freeway. It's like, no, why is this actually upsetting to me? Because I've been cut off before and I've flipped someone off or yelled at them. And then I get cut off the next time. I'm like, oh, you're right, mate. All good. It's like, why is now the time that I'm angry? Like, what's actually happened? And so it's about using that breadcrumb trail to go back. What's coming up for me? Well, I felt like that person didn't respect me. Okay, awesome. Share. Understand more. Explore more. Why is being respected such a big deal? And we can keep asking questions to go back until we find a core emotion, right? And if that's just, I feel let down, or I feel sad, I feel disappointed, whatever comes up, then it's important to know that, that there is a child attached to that emotion. And just as I spoke about before, you talk to that child and give it the serving and support that it needs. So I remember recently, I went to another networking event and they'd just accidentally given me the wrong address. And so I'd spent like 2.5 hours of my day getting there only to find I was at the wrong address. I missed the appointment, had to drive another hour back home. It's like 4 hours of my day just gone, right? Like, thanks, right? And I was really upset. And instead of being angry at everyone and being frustrated and all this sort of thing, I connected with my body and just thought, what's going on? Like, what do I actually need right now? And inside of me was a little boy who was disappointed and let down. And I spent some time talking with him. And I was saying things like, hey, mate, I can see you're really upset right now. I can see you're really disappointed. You know, that sucked. You've spent a lot of time to get here today and for it to all be for nothing. That really hurts. And I'm sure that you're feeling a sense of abandonment right now and not being, maybe not being included. That's a big deal, yeah? And so I just want to let you know that I'm here, I've got you, you're allowed to be sad right now, you're allowed to feel this. This doesn't mean that you're selfish, it doesn't mean that you're in trouble, it means that you've got emotions and you're allowed to feel them. I'm here for you, mate. And I would literally say these things out loud to myself as I was talking to a little child. And those words, those sincere, empathetic, validating and acknowledging words is all that I needed. Just be like, okay, I've had my emotional needs met. Like, thank you so much for just being there and holding space for me. And it allows me to just feel good. And so I can get out of that way more rapidly instead of creating this huge story about how I'm a victim and then just like complaining for the next 2 weeks about how people let me down. It doesn't have to be that way. We can just go straight to the source. So allow ourselves to tap into our children, our childlike selves, and just be there for them. That's how you do it.
Such important work, such an important message. I love that. And I love that it's not overly complicated. It's relatively simple. And yet I'll give appreciation and respect that it's not something that any of us or many of us have ever been taught. So I wonder, as we wrap up, anyone that's listening to this go, oh my God, I resonate with everything that you've shared. Jaden here, thank you so much. I would love to take this further. Is there a way that, or what's your recommendation if they want to get in touch with you? What's a great starting point? How can you help and support someone on this journey even further through the work that you're doing specifically in your business?
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dan. So you can find me at reclaimyou.com or email me at jaden@reclaimyou.com. Also, I'm mainly on Facebook. So Jaden Lee Hargraves. I'm sure Dan, you'll put the show notes in and put my full spelling in there for anyone to contact me and reach me. So we are really, really proud of what we're doing. You know, I've got a team of coaches now working for me. And we're just creating a really beautiful movement. We're working on our emotional regulation. We're diving deep into our relationships. Big thing is just how to set boundaries, how to express our needs, and how to share them in a way without getting overwhelmed by our emotions. So we take all of our clients through this beautiful journey in our coaching program. And it's something that I'm so passionate about. We've got a whole movement of women now going through this course, going through this program, and they're just having incredible results by just being allowed to have a space to share what's on their heart and to have that space where they're acknowledged and supported and safe enough to express all of this and then be guided to the best version of themselves and be empowered to advocate for themselves and do what they know is right for them so they can have the life of their dreams.
Awesome. So good. Thank you for all the difference, all the work, all the inspiration and catalyst, being the catalyst of change for others. As a male in this woman's world, I don't think there's enough of the kinds of people that you are, the kind of person that you are to go and do this work. So thank you so much. And thank you for being here and sharing all your wisdom here today. Highly appreciate it. And I know the listeners will be loving it as well.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dan. I really, really appreciate it. I love this stuff. And the more we get this out, the happier and healthier everyone's going to be.
Yeah. Thank you, man. We'll talk again soon. Totally appreciate it.